Whoa, we are back for the sixth interview episode of Home at Advantage. I am Sam Herring, joined today by NCAA All-American Sean Russell. If this is your first episode, please go back and listen to our latest interview with two-time NCAA champion Yanni Diakonopoulos. We've also recently interviewed Bo Nickel, who is a three-time NCAA champion. Also, you can find new articles on HMAWrestling.com. Our latest article comes from five-time PA state champ Bo Bassett. Please go check all that out and give us a shout-out wherever you can. We're on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, wherever you might want to give us a shout-out. We'll take it. Today we have a special guest, as I mentioned. Sean Russell is a four-time high school state champion. He is a three-time EWL champion, 2017 NCAA All-American, and a 2019 Big Ten third placer. I hope you guys enjoy this interview with Sean Russell, and just sit back and enjoy. Hey, what's up, Sean? What have you been up to since NCAAs?
What's up, brother? Not a whole lot, man. Just right after, took some time off and then made up my mind I was going to keep wrestling. And then since then, just been training, man.
Have you been training at Minnesota still?
Yep. I'll be wrestling for the Storm next year. So I'm sticking around up here and wrestling for the Storm. And that's what I'm doing.
Awesome, man. All right. So I'll get into my questions for you, and we'll start with how you got into wrestling and what was your first impression of the sport?
So how I got into wrestling was my dad got me into wrestling real young. My dad wrestled at Gardner Webb, and he actually got into it real late. So, like, he didn't start wrestling, like, his junior year of high school. So I think he really wanted to, like, still be involved, and I think he really, like, fell in love with the sport. So he got me into it real young. At about four, I think, was my first tournament.
Were you in Georgia at the time?
Yes. Yep. I was in Georgia.
So what was the first club you wrestled for? Where did you start wrestling?
First club I wrestled for was TWC with Arturo Holmes.
Right.
And it was awesome, man. It's a great club. Arturo's a wizard. I mean,
he's the so guy. Fun.
Yeah, he's awesome, dude. The guy makes his own clothes. I mean, he's as cool as they come. And aside from being cool, the guy has a great wrestling mind, too. I mean, he taught me, you know, how to shoot a high crotch properly, taught me a lot of the basics, and also had a lot of really good tricks, man, that I still use today. So.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about him for a little while. So how much do you know about him and where he got started with TWC?
I know that. For a long time, like, all of Georgia's best went through Arturo. And even now that there's more clubs in Georgia and stuff like that, like, a lot of the people who own those clubs and stuff all came through and wrestled for Arturo first. So he's kind of like the godfather of Georgia wrestling, I think, in my opinion. And I'm not positive on how he got started. Like I said, I was real young, you know, when I first started going there. But right. I do know that, like, he was at a bunch of different locations. I remember our dad was just taking us to wherever he was at for a while. And there's a lot of big names in the room, like Dustin Cowell was there, who, you know, wound up running TWA and multiple-time qualifier from NC State. And, me and my little brother were in there. Milhoff was in there. Chip Ness was in there. A lot of guys that were real young at the time who wound up having success. So,
Who was your main training partner? Was it Milhoff early on? Ness? Who did you really train with?
I would say early on it was my little brother.
Really?
Yeah, I would say early on it was my little brother. We went everywhere together. We're the same size. I would say from about 5 years old till about, I would say about 10 years old, 10 to 12, I would say Cody was my main training partner.
So did you guys get along very easily when you trained together?
We got along. I mean, we also fought a lot, for sure. Cody's actually up here with me right now training. He's training with me for, you know, for 10 days, 10 or 11 days, just getting some good training in before he goes back to App State. And it's hard, man. It's hard when you and your brother are training partners because you're in really heavy competition with each other. And I think he wants to be better than me really bad, you know, and he should, and that's awesome. But I think you got to find a way to make it healthy, you know what I mean? And I have to find a way as an older brother to be able to, like, relay things to him, relay moves to him and stuff like that, and relay my thought process and stuff like that to him without coming off as, like, hey, you should do what I tell you because I'm your older brother. Because no one, you know, people don't really want to be talked to like that all the time, and I get that. And I think I struggled with that when I was a little kid, you know, like 8, 9. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I tried to boss him around a little bit, probably, and he probably didn't like that as much, and I get that now that I'm older. But for the most part, man, we've always got along good. So,
how many years apart are you two?
Just two.
So, wrestling with him, have you strictly been his training partner with other coaches, or are you a little bit more of a coach with him sometimes, and you help him with his technique, or role model, friend, whatever it may be in wrestling? How do you feel you've been involved with his wrestling?
Yeah. You know, man, I don't know. I hope I play a little bit of all those roles, you know, and I'm not sure, man. It's hard. It's because I want him to be so good, man. I want him to be so much better than me. And I know he has the potential, and I know how good he is and stuff like that. But he also has his own coaches, man. And I got to make sure that I don't undermine those guys, or I got to make sure, you know, that because he has great coaches. He does, you know, and I don't have to play the number one role in his life on his wrestling career. Like, he has people for that. But at the same time, man, we talk, you know, once every day or two, and I always help him out, man, with mindset stuff. And when I see things, I tell him, you know, and I always tell him, like, after we talk after every one of my matches and after every one of his matches, we always talk, like, kind of tell each other what we saw and stuff like that. But I'd say for the most part, we're really good friends, and we really want to see each other win. So I would just leave it at that. You know, I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily one specific entity for him. I'd say, you know, hopefully I fit into a lot of those categories. And he definitely fits in some of those for me too.
Yeah. So you said you started wrestling at a very, very young age. Did you play any other sports in your childhood, or was it strictly wrestling?
Yeah, I grew up, I played football, baseball, and wrestling for like 3 or 4 years when I was not that long. I think like 3 years growing up. And then I just played baseball and wrestling all the way until the 8th grade. And then when high school started, I just wrestled.
So when you were younger playing all those sports, was it baseball and football on a side to wrestling, or was it all on the same level?
Yeah, it became that way. Not at first. At first, it was like when I was 4 and 5, it was like I was playing, you know, and that's like T-ball, and it's, right, you know, it's not super serious and stuff. But at the same time, like, everything kind of was equal. But then when I turned 6, my dad took me to Tulsa and Cliff Keen and Reno, and I had some success out there and stuff. And once I got a little piece of that success, man, it was like, God, I just wanted to wrestle so bad, like, all the time. And so I played football for 6 and 7, and then after my seven year old year, I told my dad, I was like, man, I just want to focus on wrestling. I was like, but I'll play baseball like during the summer, but I just want to devote more time to wrestling. And my dad said, I told him, I was like 6, like, I want to be Olympic champ one day. I don't remember that, but that's what he told me. That's what he told me. I told him. So my dad was like, cool, man. So that's what we started doing. I wrestled probably 8 months out of the year, and probably played baseball like three or four.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about having success at the Tulsa Reno tournaments like that. Was how early did that come, and were you able to keep that all the way through? Was it something that kind of dipped up and down?
Yeah, man, that's tough. I think I always had pretty good success out there. Like, I won Tulsa 3 times. I was in the finals another 2 times where I got second. I won the kickoff once or twice. I won Reno 2 or 3 times. But there was also times, man, like when I went out to Tulsa and I didn't place, you know, like there was a couple of times I went out there and I didn't place. And there was also times I, you know, I was 3rd at Reno, right? You know, so I wouldn't say like, I mean, dude, some of those weight brackets were loaded. And I mean, sometimes I would say that I normally had success, but I wouldn't say every single time. Like, on my young year, those years were hard, you know. When I was 11 and it was 12U, or when I was 9 and it was 10U. I think those years were tough. But I think those tournaments are awesome, and I'm proud, man, that I had some success at those tournaments, because I have a lot of respect for them.
And were you with Arturo all the way through high school, training with him for those events, or did you kind of go to other clubs and stuff?
I definitely went all over the place, and I definitely would say that I was with Altoro through it all. I definitely was up there one night a week, or even if it wasn't one night a week, we were still talking on the phone, or, you know, we were talking technique, or, you know, whatever, whatever. But it got to a point where I might be at Compound one night, you know, and TWA one night, and then somewhere else another night, and we were kind of all over the place. We never really did, like, the membership thing, and I wouldn't really say I ever belonged to, like, one specific club. Maybe I was at TWA for a while. I was pretty consistently there for a little bit, but we just, man, we went with the best guys we're going to be that night, and, you know, my dad was big about always trying to make sure I was getting beat in the practice room and really getting pushed and stuff like that. So I would say I was all over the place.
Moving on to your high school career, you were part of the first Who's Number One Ever, is that correct?
Yeah, the first one, yep.
So when did that first invitation or the idea to compete in that or at all hear about the idea of that event come about?
Yeah, it was cool, man. It was really cool, like, looking back. And I remember being in class and getting a Facebook message from Willie. And he's, like, asking me if I want to do this Who's Number One thing. And, like, just this sound of, like, I obviously have no idea what it is. There hadn't even been one. But, like, the sound of it just sounded so cool. He's, like, because I was ranked number one in the country at the time. And he's, like, hey, man, you're the number one guy. We're going to ask Keyshawn Hayes. He's the number two guy. Are you interested in doing it? And I'm, like, heck yeah, man. That sounds awesome. And so I remember, like, feeling bad at first because, like, me and Milhoff were training partners, and I didn't think he'd been asked. He hadn't been asked yet, and I didn't want to be like, you know, like, oh, man, I got asked, whatever. I kind of felt bad. I'm like, damn, I wonder, like, if they're going to ask him. And then sure enough, like, a couple days went by, and he got his Facebook message, too, because I think he was number one or number two at 120. He might have been number two. I can't remember. And that was cool. So we were both like, dude, we both got an invitation. Like, we're both going to do it together. At that point, we were training together at Collins Hill. We were at the same high school. So we said yes, obviously. Keyshawn couldn't do it for whatever reason. I wanted to wrestle Nathan Boston. I think he was the number three guy. I went up there. Didn't really know what to expect. I'd never been to Lehigh. You know, we wrestled at the Snake Pit, which is where they pass every year. And that environment was unbelievable. I mean, dude, the people were super knowledgeable wrestling fans, and the energy in the room and the crowd and just the whole experience, man, was awesome. And it's definitely something I'll always remember.
For sure. That sounds awesome. So could you walk me through your time at that event from flying in to weighing in, leading up to the match, et cetera, just kind of how that went about when you got there?
Yeah, it was awesome, man. So we flew in, Willie picked us up. We were in a van. We got there, we like worked out, and then like we had to do all these like pictures, man, and we got all these like pictures taken and stuff, and then we got all this gear, and the gear was sick. It was like, you know, really cool, like Green Flow singlet, had my name on the back. Got a bunch of sweet gear, a real nice bag. Then we had press conferences, which I remember was cool, and it was different, you know, like I'd never done a press conference, you know, I think. Right. I was a junior, senior in high school, you know, and you're sitting there with the guy you're going to wrestle, and they're asking you questions about him, and it was cool. I remember being like, man, this is like, you feel like you're in the NFL or the MMA, or like, you know, like you're doing press conference, which I loved it, and it was cool, man. I mean, and then after that, so I think the next day we wrestled, and then Jordan Oliver was my coach out there, because, you know, you have like a guest coach. And at the time, man, coming out of high school and stuff, like, I really looked up to J.O. Like, I mean, still do. Guys, an awesome competitor. I mean, as slick as they come. And I really looked up to him. And just the fact that he got to be my coach for that was, like, I was psyched. And I, you know, and he was awesome, man. He was super cool, super nice. And, like, I remember one of my favorite parts, I'll never forget, is, like, because I went – at the time, I had the longest match in high school history. It went into, like, 10, 12 minutes of overtime because they shut off the clock. Remember when they used to do that?
Yeah.
So that year, I had the longest match. So, like, halfway through my overtime, there was, like, a weird call, and they were discussing it. And, like, J.O., I remember, took his shirt off and was, like, wiping me down with it. And I just remember thinking, like, damn, that's pretty cool, you know?
That is cool.
Because I was just a young kid, you know? So I remember thinking that was cool. And then J.O. wrestled – Bubba Jenkins after the duel, and that was a really good match. J.O. won, and it was sweet. So, like I said, man, overall, I mean, even though I lost, and that sucked, man, and it hurt. I mean, no loss ever feels good, and that one slipped through my fingers. But looking back now, I'm a little older, the overall experience was an awesome time.
That's so cool you got to be a part of that first one. Will you be able to go this year?
I don't know, man. I'd love to. I mean, it just depends. Like, it depends. I mean, I heard they're not going to have it at Lehigh again.
No, they're not.
I seen Willie say that. So it depends on where it's at in the country. And it, like, I know I got some Georgia boys right now who are making some noise, you know. So if one of those guys gets invited or something, like, sure, I'd love to go. Obviously, it's an awesome event. But at the same time, I mean, I could be training. So I don't really know.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, in your recruiting stage, what were some schools that either you were interested in or they were really interested in you? Obviously, you were a very high recruit, so I'm sure there were a lot of schools that were interested in you. So, let's kind of stick to other schools other than Edinburgh that you were interested in.
Yeah, so other than Edinburgh, my top two at the end of the day were Edinburgh and Minnesota coming out of high school. So Minnesota was a really big one. Took my visit out here. I really liked it coming out of high school. Central Michigan with Coach Borelli. Talked to them a lot. Old Dominion with Coach Martin. I talked to him a good bit. I remember Virginia with Coach Clemson. That's just kind of off the top of the head from what I really remember. Yeah, so in those, man, I really liked all those schools. And I really had a good time, like, on my visits and stuff. But at the end of the day, it came down between Minnesota and Edinburgh. And it was a tough choice, man. Both, like, at the time I was coming to Edinburgh, they just finished fifth in the country the year before, and they had a hammer of a lineup coming back. And it was really good situation for me at 25 because they had a redshirt senior coming back, Corey Mines, who was a couple-time qualifier. And then they also had freaking AJ Shop at 33. They had Mitchell Port at 41, three-time All-American, two-time national finalist. Then Dave Habbitt, national finalist at 49. Like, and then even those guys, their backups in the room were super tough. So that was very luring to me. And then obviously Minnesota, man. I mean, there's not enough good things. Like I said, I mean, obviously they got all the resources. Their room is ridiculously deep always too. And you know, I had immense respect for their coaching staff, loved their coaching staff coming out of high school. One of the deciding factors, there was many, but Ethan Lezak wound up signing. We were both being recruited at the same time, and he signed here, like, before I made up my mind. And when he did, J-Rob asked me if there's any way I could go 33, and I was really small at the time. So,
right.
So I was like, man, and my parents are pretty small. They're not real big. So I was like, man, I'm probably not going to grow into a 33-pounder. So, and that's not the only reason why I chose Edinburgh. There's a lot of reasons why I liked Edinburgh. And it wound up being a really good fit for me there. So I'm happy with what happened at the end of the day. And then obviously I got the transfer here my last season. So I think it's pretty rare that an individual gets to say he wrestled for both of his top two schools that he got recruited for.
That is cool. And, you know, it's funny is Ethan Lezak ended up being a huge 25 and then finally a 33.
At the end of the season. Yeah, crazy.
So you talked about Edinburgh having a really, really deep lineup. What were some other things that you were attracted to about Edinburgh? Was it coaching staff, community? Whatever it may be.
I would say the coaching staff, big time. I really liked Coach Flynn, like, on my visit. And I don't know, like, and I can't even pinpoint for you exactly what made me like him so much. Like, I mean, me and him are similar personality, I think, for sure. And he's a go-getter, man, and a hard worker. And I really like that about him. And I really like I wouldn't even say the bluntness. Like, I wouldn't say he's blunt, but he's very, very honest and very straight. Like, he's not afraid to tell you what's going on. And you never really wonder, like, where you're at with him. Like, you always know on what page you're on with him. There's not really a question. I like that a lot. And I really liked Cliff Moore. I mean, national champ at Iowa, and he was a smaller guy. He was going to be the assistant, and it was a good situation for me. And I just, I don't know. I mean, you take visits, and here's what I tell kids now. It's like when people are getting recruited and when I'm giving advice on recruits and stuff like that, it's like, man, you got to go somewhere where you really believe in somebody, and you can see yourself really wanting to run through a wall for that person. Like, college wrestling's hard, man. And it's a lot of hard workouts and a lot of long days. And, like, it's hard, man. If you're not believing in somebody or you don't have, like, a belief system or at least an idea that you're believing in or something like that, or a saying or a phrase or something, like, it's hard, man, to be able to give that 200% effort day in and day out and cut the weight and get to the right weight class and have a positive attitude. Like, those things aren't they're not easy, man. And it gets the best of people. So I really felt like I believed a lot in Coach Flynn, like, early on. And I was like, man, I just think whatever this guy tells me to do, like, I'm going to do it. Like, I'll do it. You know, like, it, like, I just believed in him a lot. And that spoke a lot to me from being recruited, at, you know. From that standpoint, I just thought, like, man, if I'm going to go somewhere like that, that feels right for me to go there. It feels right that I, you know, think that much of him.
Right. That's awesome. That totally makes sense. Edinburgh sounded, with Coach Flynn there, it was a great place to go for sure. Did it take you a while to adjust to the college lifestyle of living by yourself in your own dorm, washing your own clothes? Some guys have talked about just being on your own is a big switch from what they're used to.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, yeah. And here's the thing, like, my parents, I have awesome parents and very nice, like, Southern, like, nice people, nice parents. And they did a lot for me growing up. And sometimes, man, you don't realize, like, how much your parents really do for you until you get out on your own and you see, like, how other people's parents treat them and how, you know, maybe some people have been doing their laundry and doing all this other stuff since they were 13 or whatever. But my dad was always very much like, hey, man, if you're making good grades and you're wrestling hard and stuff like that, like, we'll take care of you, you know. And if you're doing good in sports, you're doing good in school, like, we'll take care of you, you know. And my mom was very sweet and took care of us a lot, just in a lot of different ways. So when I got to college, for sure, man, it was different. Like, it made me very thankful, like, for my parents. It made me very thankful for my mom, and, like, made me call her a lot and just tell her I loved her and just tell her, like, hey, I'm really thankful for, like, all the dinners you made for us growing up and all the laundry and all the stuff. Like, kind of take it for granted, you know, until you really have to do it. And you're like, dang, this is what my mom was doing every night. She was making dinner and doing laundry, you know. So I caught on pretty quick, and I don't think it didn't take me, like, a super long time to be able to do that stuff on my own. But it just was eye-opening to me and just made me really thankful.
That's pretty cool. So in your first year competing in college, you won EWLs and then qualified for the NCAAs, right?
Yep.
So could you walk me through some of the highs and lows of that season, kind of how it started? You had taken a redshirt year, and then you jumped right into the season and you had immediate success. Could you kind of walk me through that season?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think a lot of it was just the kind of work we were putting in, man. Like, I was working really, really hard, and it wasn't just me. Like, our team was working really, really hard. Like, our coach and staff pushed us hard. And I think, I did a lot of workouts, and, I think I was in the gym a lot, you know, and I wanted to be good really, really bad. Like, really bad. I wanted to be good. And I think that year, like, I did have some success, but at the same time, I had some failures for sure. You know, I mean, obviously your goal, every time you're at the national tournament, your goal is to win. It's not to go 1-2. It's not to be fifth. It's not to be fourth. You're trying to win the tournament. So, and I think some of the reason that I wasn't rated All-American is just some of the way I was living my life. Like, I just think, like, my diet and just other things, like, and it's not that I wasn't putting in a ton of wrestling work, cause I was, but I wasn't mature enough, like, in a lot of other ways, I think, to be able to have my best product on the mat yet. And I had some success. Like, it's not, I didn't do a lot bad, or I didn't, you know, I had some good wins here and there and whatever. But I think at the end of the day, the reason that I wasn't really on the podium that year that close was just because of some of my immaturities and still growing up and, you know, and just getting used to college and just really figuring out, like, who you want to be, you know. Like, do you want to be a 3-time All-American national champ, or do you want to be a guy who's middle of the road? Like, kind of got to make your mind up, because there's a lot of choices in life that, like, dictate which way you're going to go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, for sure. So, then in your sophomore year, it was very similar, NCAA qualifier, and then EWO, but you made it on the podium that year.
Yep.
What were some changes that you made? You talked about just your lifestyle had to be different in your freshman year. What were the changes you made in order to make the podium sophomore season?
Yeah, there were definitely changes, man. And I think a big part of it was, like, I really started selling out on my workouts, like, really selling out, just, like, completely trying to kill myself every workout. And, like, I would just put – I got really good at pushing through being really tired. Like, I would just make myself keep going. And I think that was something I was kind of missing the year before when I was in the lineup. And I kind of got in a good habit, man, of just, like, pushing myself really hard in every workout. And I can remember doing this thing with myself where I would try to shoot like 100 times every go. Like I'd keep a shot count and try and shoot 100 times. And at first I was getting beat. Like people were getting go behinds on me and stuff like that. But as time went on, man, I was like shoot. All of a sudden I started like finding way more offense because I was just making myself shoot so much that like I was overwhelming people with just being able to shoot a lot. Like because other people weren't used to wrestling that much, I think, you know.
Right.
So I think that changed for me. And that came with my coaching staff, man. Like, they were always pushing me. And, like, they, like, I think they really knew how good I could be before I knew. Like, they weren't satisfied. Like, after my freshman year, they're like, dude, you're good enough to be an All-American. Like, you should be on the podium. Like, that's bull crap, you know. And I'm really appreciative of that, that they held me in high regard and, you know, set my goals high. Like, their goals were high for me. Their expectations were high. And that was awesome. So, just from them just pushing me, and I think me finally starting to sell out on my workouts, and I think that was a big, big change that helped me get onto the podium.
What was that NCAA season like, or I mean the NCAA tournament? What was that like when you got there for the second time? You kind of knew the drill, and this time you were able to execute your goals and your plans.
It was awesome, man. You know what? It's a lot of highs and lows, and the NCAA tournament is really hard. Like, I won my first match, and I wrestled really, really well. I wrestled really, really well my first match. I teched the guy, and the guy was actually in my conference then. I only beat him by 7 the week before, and I was like, man, I'm feeling really good. And then I had Mueller second match, and I was like, man, I'm going to beat him. I know I'm going to beat him. I know I'm going to beat him. And I lost. And it, like, really shook me because I was like, God, I was wrestling so good. Like, how did I lose? Like, I can't believe that I lost. And it hurt a little bit. And I had to really, like, I remember being in the shower that night, like, just resetting myself, just being like, dude, it doesn't matter. Like, doesn't matter. Go hard tomorrow. Forget about it. You know, just, and I did a good job of resetting my mind and stuff like that. And Mueller wound up having a good tournament. And I didn't really realize, like, you know, this is his freshman year. So I didn't realize that he was going to have a good tournament. I couldn't believe I lost to him, you know, whatever. And then so I started getting some wins on the backside. He actually wound up beating Dance the next round. He made the semis. And then I won. Like, my first round of wrestlebacks was tough. Like, I beat Johnny Jimenez from Wisconsin, and it was, like, 2-1 in the third. I was winning, and I got a takedown, like, 30 seconds left. So, like, they were hard-fought matches, man. And it took a lot of heart and took a lot of, you know, determination those next three matches. But it was awesome. Like I said, a lot of highs and lows. So then, like, I was real upset after Austin Mueller. I got some wins. Then I'm in the round of 12, man. And I just remember that match like it was yesterday. And that was just one of the greatest moments of my life, I think, man. Just being able, like, my dad, he put in a lot of work with me and did a lot for me growing up. And so did the rest of my family. And for them to be there and me get to accomplish that and them to be proud of me and stuff, that meant a lot to me.
That's so cool. Okay. So the next year, you were not able to make the podium. Much deeper bracket. Suriano, Spencer Lee in there, super tough. And then at the end of it, Coach Flynn left Edinburgh. When was the first time you heard of the idea, or did Coach Flynn call you into his office and he's like, "Hey, I'm thinking about taking a job at West Virginia"? When was the first time you heard that come about?
Well, I knew that he went there to, like, visit the campus and stuff. And Coach Flynn had went and visited Pittsburgh a couple years before this. And, like, that's normal. Like, coaches will go check out other jobs and stuff like that. Like, doesn't always mean that they're leaving. Sometimes it can mean anything. It can mean that they're trying to see how much they're going to get offered. Maybe they can take that back to Edinburgh and say, hey, here's what – so-and-so offered. I don't know. So it doesn't always, just because the interview doesn't always mean they're going to take it. But so I heard that he interviewed and I was kind of worried. I'm like, dang, like, what am I going to do if he leaves? And then I was kind of thinking, I'm like, man, if he leaves, but like, and I was just assuming if he left, like, Mitchell and Cliff would stay. And I was still really close with them. And I really like those guys, man. Like, I couldn't have more respect for Mitchell and Cliff. So I was like, you know what? Even if Flynn leaves, like, I'll stay, you know? And so then Flynn, like, maybe like a couple weeks go by working out, maybe like a week. And then one day he comes in, he's like, "Hey, I got to talk to you guys." It was the whole coaching staff. And he was like, "I'm leaving. I'm taking a job at West Virginia and Mitchell and Cliff are coming with me." And I can remember my stomach just kind of dropping, like, oh my gosh, they're all leaving. Like, they're all leaving, you know, which is weird. Like, you don't see that much.
Right.
So I was up. I mean, I was up. I didn't really know how to feel at first, because like there's a lot of different feelings. You know, at first, I think I was mad, like mad at them right away. You know, real raw, like right in the beginning. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, you start thinking, like, man, he's got to do what's best for his family. Like, it's not all about me. Like, yeah, I am going into my senior year, but, like, he can't base his whole life on what I'm just me, myself, is going on. You know, like, he has a family to worry about and a lot of different things. So after I got my release and talked to Coach Flynn and stuff, I kind of figured out that there was more to this, a lot more to the story than him just, like, leaving. Like, there's a lot of things that happened at Edinburgh between him and the university that – you know, I don't want to get into, because I don't want to throw shade on anybody, but I just think it was some things that where he felt like, you know, he needed to take a job somewhere else. And, you know, I think there was a lot of factors. So once I talked to him and we talked and stuff, it was like I wasn't mad, you know, at them or anything anymore. I just kind of, then I was just kind of figure out, like, what am I going to do? And after I did an All-America as a junior, man, like, that broke my heart really bad. Like, after being on the podium, like, once you're on the podium, once you're supposed to be on the podium after that, like, you All-America as a sophomore, you should at least All-America as a junior and senior, because you've already gotten to that level. Yeah, I mean, rule of thumb, it's not it – a lot of times it doesn't happen. But that's where my mindset is, and that's what I felt about myself, you know. So
right.
After I did an All-American, like, I was heartbroken. So I didn't want to stay there, because I felt like no matter who we got – the program was going to take a step back, just because we had three coaches leave, our three really good coaches. I knew there was going to be transfers. Like, I just felt like, and I felt like I needed to go a step forward, because obviously, man, I'm trying to win the Nationals, and I just didn't even All-American. So I'm pretty far from where I need to get in the grand scheme of things. So that's when I, you know, got my release around that time and started talking to other schools.
Did you ever consider following Coach Flynn and the rest of staff to West Virginia?
Yeah, for sure. I took a visit down there, and it went well, man. I mean, they have a ton of resources, and it's definitely a beautiful campus and obviously good coaches and stuff. But the way my credits transferred, it was like I was going to have to take like 7 classes just to be eligible there, because it's really hard to transfer as a redshirt junior, like when you've already had 4 years of school. It's hard to transfer that year, like, because you have to have so many credits. And then schools don't take some – they don't consider some of your classes if they don't have a class close enough to that curriculum.
Right.
So it was just too much. And just Coach Flynn was like – like, I went on my visit, and we were going back and forth about the school stuff. And then finally one day he was like, look, man, it's going to be way too much, man. And I don't want to set you up for failure. And I don't want you to come down here and mess up in one class, because you have so many, and you know, and it ultimately being a bad thing. So we just kind of, you know, we just kind of said it wasn't going to be able to happen, and kind of just left it at that.
And did you still feel the same way about Minnesota that you did senior or high school career when you were looking at committing there? Did you still feel the same way? And did you know that Lezak's plan was to move up?
Absolutely, I felt the same way. I didn't know, like, right away that Lezak's plan was to move up. But here's the thing, man. Here's how you never know what's going to happen. Like, after I didn't go to Minnesota out of high school, like, after when I saw the Minnesota guys, they were always very nice to me. And, like, I had worked out with Zach at the training center, like, while I was at Edinburgh. Like, Zach rolled around with me and was showing me stuff. And, like, this is way before these guys ever knew I would even consider coming there. So, like, I just remember thinking a lot of that. Like, I remember being like, man, that's pretty good. Like, a lot of coaches, like, if you don't choose their school, like, they don't like you. You know what I mean? Like, they're just, like, they don't like you, or they hold a grudge, or not every coach, but it definitely happens. So, like, that always made me think a lot of Minnesota, like, you know, even before that came. And then, so once I was on the transfer portal or whatever, and Minnesota called me and said that, Lezak was going to go 33. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, that's perfect. That's perfect, you know, and because in my room at Minnesota last year, I honestly bet it was the best room for a 125 pounder in the world. Like, I don't know if there's a better room. I mean, I had Lezak, I had Mitch McKee, I had Zach Sanders, I had Jason Ness in there. I had Skylar Petrie, who placed at the Open last year. I had Stephen Polakowski, who's had great matches at the college level. Like, they've just been behind Lezak, but they're really good wrestlers, you know. And I had Tommy Thorne, and I had DeSager, who's two-time national champ for D2. Like, my room was ridiculous. So yeah, that really lured me to want to come here. Just that alone just leaves that coming up.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the partners you knew were great. You had been attracted to their school before. How did you feel about the coaching staff there? Did you feel like they met your style well? Did you feel like they could help you reach your goals for that last season?
Yeah, yes, I did, for sure. I mean, that's the reason I came here. I mean, I didn't come. Like, it's a big change, man, and it's hard to go to a school for 4 years and then transfer out to a complete new city on the other part of the country for 1 year. Like, if you're doing that, you're doing that to go down there and win the Nationals. Like, I didn't come just to transfer schools and, like, you know, whatever. Like, I was coming to win a national championship, and I really felt I could do it here. I mean, I could have. I did it, but I had all the resources, and I had all the coaching, and I had all the everything you could have had. You know, so I have immense respect for this staff. You know, they're very straight up people. Like, if they tell you they're going to do something, they're going to do it. They're not shady. They're not, you know, they're real people, man. And I remember, like, on my visit, like, one thing that stood out to me about Minnesota, man, this held a lot of merit in my heart, was, so I came on my visit here, and one of the guys, I won't say his name, but he was taking me home at the end of the night, and I was on the back of his moped. And I asked him, I'm like, hey, man, tell me straight up. Like, this is a really big decision in my life. Like, what do you really think about the coaches here? Like, tell me the truth. This is what the guy told me. He's like, man, I'm a horrible wrestler. I'm terrible. He's like, I'm fourth string. I'll never do anything for this program in wrestling. I'm here. Like, I have good grades. I'm on the team. Da, 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 da. And he said, and me, myself, I have a great relationship with Minnesota coaches. And that said a lot to me. I'm like, man, so this guy's not even scoring points for them. And these coaches take care of them. And I just thought that held a lot of merit with me about them.
For sure. So did you take into account their RTC program and your goals post-college for recruiting? Because you only had one more year to wrestle with Minnesota. Did you really think, I can do great things with Storm too?
Was absolutely.
That you went into?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was very luring. Like, the Storm is super long. Because at the time, I was sure I wanted to keep wrestling, but I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. Like, that could have been, like, fighting, or, you know, I could have even just straight up now went and gotten to coaching. Like, I didn't know for sure, you know. But when I was being recruited, I like, told them that, you know, after this year, I would like to wrestle for the Storm and stuff like that, if it was possible. And they were like, yeah, you know, we'll see how the year goes, and if you still want to, you know, we'll talk about it or whatever. And so... So I wrestled, and then obviously, man, my last match of my college career went really bad, man. I just didn't wrestle very well, and it was really hard. And I mean, for about 2 months, I took off after Nationals and just did a lot of soul searching, and it was really hard, man. Probably one of the hardest things I've dealt with in a long time, just how much work I put in and how much I did to come up short like that. But, I got back in the room, I started rolling around, and I just realized, like, I really love this, man. This is what I'm best at. And so it just lit a fire under me a little bit. And I'm really fortunate that I have a place in Minnesota that I can continue to wrestle in a great program with great partners after my college career's over, you know, and they've made that possible. And not just Minnesota, you know, there's other RTCs that are making that possible. And I think that's a really positive, awesome step that our sport's moving into.
Definitely. I'm glad to see it so that people can compete and continue to do what they love after college. So did you have any good relationships with the wrestlers at Minnesota before committing there? Did you know Lezak? Did you know Sanders, whoever was there? Did you really have a good relationship with them?
Yeah. Dude, I didn't know too many people here before I came here. I really didn't. I'm trying to think. I knew Zach just because on my visit at a high school, and we rolled around at the training center. But, like, I knew him enough to say what's up to him. I didn't, like, know him, you know. So I didn't know a ton of them, and I didn't really care. Like, I was trying to win a national championship. I'm like, I didn't even – I liked the guys a ton on my visit, and I also liked the guys a lot on my visit to Missouri, but, like, I didn't even take that into consideration too much because I was just like, man, I just want to win so bad. And then, luckily, you know, I chose Minnesota based off my wrestling success, and then, man, it just happened. Like, I just got super close with these guys just in, like, a short period of time. And, man, by the end of the last season, like, I was like, I wanted to win for my freaking team, you know, and I only been here a year. And like that, I think that's kind of rare. Like I see a lot of like people will transfer their last year. And I think like, it's more of like, oh, this guy's got 1 year here, then he's moving on. And I don't think that they always get that close with the team that they're on. If you transfer for 1 year, you know, but my case was different. And I mean, I really love these guys. And like, I'm really glad that I'm still here and training, and not just because of the partners or the coaching or all that stuff. Like, I'm really glad I'm here because I really like it here. And I really like the people I'm around, and I don't just feel like I've become a better wrestler. Like, I've been in Minnesota, I also feel like I've become a better person just from the people I've surrounded myself with here, and just kind of a standard that people hold themselves with here on this team and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, I got really close with the guys, and I really like it here.
So, looking forward, How long do you want to be competing, trying to make world teams? How long do you feel like you want to do that? Maybe going to fighting or coaching. What are some ideas that you have for your future?
Yeah, man. I'm not positive. I mean, I'm not positive. I don't want to put myself in a box of anything. And I have ideas, you know, for sure. But I'm kind of playing it by ear. I mean, right now, the way I'm looking at it is I'm going to give 2 years everything I got to freestyle and to training and to my body and stuff like that, and then see where I'm at. So after 2 years, man, I'd like to reevaluate, see where I'm at. If I'm freaking really wrestling good and, you know, I'm a top 3-4 guy at the weight, or maybe I'm even the guy, or, you know, I'm right in there, then I'm going to see it out, and I'm going to keep wrestling, and I'm going to see how good I can get probably. Man, if I'm losing and you know, I'm not doing too well, and, you know, maybe I don't know how my heart will feel at that point, you know, who knows, but that's the time I'll reevaluate after 2 years. And if I'm ready to move on and start coaching, then I will. And if I want to keep competing, then I will. Or who knows, man, I might want to get into sales. I mean, I've thought about getting into sales. I think that's something I'd like to do. And obviously I'd always have my hand in wrestling somehow. I could never leave this sport completely, but you just never know. So I try not to put myself in too much of like, this is what I'm going to do. You know, I'm just kind of trying to play it by ear, man, and just take it day by day.
Definitely. So how much have you been training with? You mentioned you've been training with Cody a little bit this summer. How much are you going to visit him at App State during this college season? Go watch him in his duels. How are you going to be involved in his wrestling?
Absolutely, man. I'm gonna go to as many duels as I can for him. It's really special, like, and I just got out of college, and like, he has 2 years left, I think. And I and like, my job is to wrestle. Like, my job is training wrestling, and then like, I'm assistant coaching at Forest Lake, which is a school up here. So my job is wrestling. You know, like, I'm not going to school anymore. I'm wrestling. So, and that's awesome, man. It's my dream. So, and saying that, like, I'm going to be watching all his matches, man. And I'm going to be flying down there for duels and getting him ready for matches and helping him make weight and helping him scout guys if he wants my help and stuff like that. But at the same time, man, like I said, not undermining his coaches and letting his coaches I know they have a good plan for him. And I trust his coaches with him and stuff like that. So my plan is to be heavily involved and be there for him, man, when he needs me, and be a training partner for him and go down there and help him out and be supportive. But, you know, I'm not going to take his career over, man. He's making some strides, and he's progressing a lot. I mean, just wrestling him live these past few days here, I'm like, holy cow, this guy's a new wrestler. Like, even since last season, last time I grabbed him. So I think he's making strides, man. I think he's going to turn some people's heads this year. And I don't even necessarily think he needs that much of my help to do that, but I will be there for him as much as I possibly can, and I'm really excited to watch his career take off.
Definitely. Are you kind of upset that as soon as you graduate, they put NCAAs in Minneapolis?
Yeah, it does suck. I mean, I guess a little bit, but like, I've only been here a year, so it's not like I have a ton of family here or nothing like that. And it'll be cool, man. Like, Cody will be wrestling here next year, and it'll be in my backyard, and I'll get to go. I mean, it'll be the first time I've been a spectator, you know, in the last 4 years, which will probably feel weird, but it's all good, man. You know, luckily we got to have Big Tens in Minneapolis this past year, and that was an awesome experience. So
I got to go to that one, and the crowds were so awesome. Minnesota, I've never really realized how many fans Minnesota has, but they packed that place.
Oh, it was awesome. Right. Yeah, it was insane.
Well, Sean, I think that's about all the questions I have for you. Thanks for coming on today. I had a blast interviewing you, and hopefully we can get you back on here and talk more wrestling.
Yeah, sounds good, buddy. I appreciate it, man.
No problem. See you guys next time.
See you, bro.
What's up, everyone? I hope you enjoyed that interview. Sean Russell has a great story, and I feel blessed to have a chance to interview him. Hopefully, we can have him back on sometime and hear about how his coaching career is going or his wrestling career is still going. So, also, we will have an interview with Reese Humphrey coming soon. He is a coach for the NJRTC. He's doing great things up there. I'm excited for that. Also, tune into Junior Worlds this week on Track Wrestling. We'll be talking a lot about that when Jude gets back. And speaking of that, he'll be back in about a week. If you guys are waiting for him, we're going to be doing interviews until he gets back. So when he does come back, we will have a normal HMA interview or HMA episode to talk about Junior Worlds, Cadet Worlds, Senior Worlds coming up. Dake Derringer will be finished by the time he arrives, so we'll get to talk about that. Thanks guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. See you guys next time.